Business leaders rate Haynes' economy fair, but quality of life excellent in a new report. And a Yukon River dramatically changes course. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Emily Files. Those stories and more up next. The first Haynes High School basketball home games of the season have been postponed. The girls' and boys' teams were both set to play at home Friday and Saturday against Petersburg, but a canceled ferry has delayed the arrival of the visiting team. The Aurora was scheduled to sail the Northern Lynn Canal on Friday, but the ferry was canceled due to high winds, heavy seas, and freezing spray. The games will be rescheduled for later in the weekend and early next week. New game times have not yet been determined. Haynes isn't the easiest place to run a business, but the quality of life keeps people here. Those are a couple takeaways from a business survey conducted by the Haynes Chamber of Commerce. The chamber interviewed 41 business owners or managers in an effort to better understand local economic challenges. It's not a thriving economy that keeps most businesses in Haynes. It's the quality of life. Chamber of Commerce Executive Director Deborah Schnabel says that message is clear in the recently completed Business Retention and Expansion Report.
Like, why are you doing business in Haynes? The predominant answer is, I love it here. You know, this is my home. This is where I want to be.
The survey comes from the Alaska Department of Commerce, Community, and Economic Development. Its goal is to give communities a tool to analyze drivers of the economy and come up with strategies to grow existing businesses. In 2016, the chamber interviewed 41 business owners and managers. They were mostly small businesses with an average of 10 employees. Many of those employees aren't full-time. About half are either part-time or seasonal. The majority of business owners were in the middle when asked how they feel about Haynes as a place to do business. 40% said fair. But the question that followed received a much more enthusiastic response. It asked each person's opinion of Haynes as a place to live.
Overwhelmingly, everyone said excellent.
Kyle Gray is the chamber board president.
I found those two contrasting points to be very interesting. So it seemed like they seemed... A lot of the business owners think that it's a fair place to do business, but a great place to live.
What keeps the economy from being more than fair? The survey highlights some of the challenges business owners face.
The cost of freight. Almost every business has identified, every business that deals in commodities has identified freight costs as one of the biggest hindrances that they have.
Recruitment is also a problem for a little under half of the businesses that participated in the survey. The main recruitment issues cited were inadequate labor skills and competition for employees. Schnabel says that might point to issues for businesses recruiting more highly skilled workers. Internet and cell phone service also present challenges. 67% of the survey respondents said they were not satisfied with internet service because it is too slow or too expensive. Schnabel says she was surprised at the number of business owners who said they were thinking of expanding, although 15 respondents said they were thinking of selling their businesses. A higher number, 25, plan to grow.
And I think that's a very powerful statement that people are committed and they feel that they're comfortable in what they're doing.
Both Schnabel and Gray were alarmed by the fact that more than half of the respondents said they do not have a business or strategic plan.
And I thought that was really interesting because I think that those people who do have business plans and who actually build their business on a plan are so much more successful.
Gray says it's especially concerning in light of another question.
Literally, the section right before that in this report outlined that changes in the market was one of the biggest things that business owners saw. So they see a lot of changes in the market, but they don't seem to have a strategic plan to be preparing for it.
An even larger number of respondents said their business doesn't have a succession plan for who would take over after them. The chamber hopes that information can be used to develop programs or classes to help local businesses succeed. Rivers change course, but rarely as dramatically as the Slims River in the Yukon Territory. It used to flow into the Bering Sea via the Yukon River, but since last May, it flows into the Pacific Ocean south of Yakutat via the Alsek. As KNBA's Jocelyn Estes reports, the diversion is changing a major lake in the Yukon, but having little to no effect on the Yukon and Alsek rivers.
The spectacular turquoise Kluane is the largest lake in the Yukon Territory and part of a UNESCO World Heritage Site. Next time you drive the Alcan Highway between Tok and Haines, you may notice Kluane Lake's water levels have dropped. The Slims River used to make up half the annual flow into the Kluane Lake. It flowed northeast from the Kaskawulsh Glacier, which last year receded to the point that lower ground emerged. Jeff Bond of the Yukon Geological Survey says the Slims River now flows southwest.
The Slims River shifted course at the toe of the Kaskawulsh Glacier and joined the Kaskawulsh River system, which flows down into the Pacific Ocean. So that completely shut off any drainage from the Kaskawulsh Glacier into Kluane Lake and significantly reduced the amount of water entering Kluane Lake.
Bed and breakfast owner and 40-year Kluane Lake resident Cecile Sias says the change was dramatic, especially considering the size of Kluane Lake, which is some 50 miles long and 3 miles wide.
Last summer, we noticed at least a 6-foot drop, and it didn't go back up.
She says boat ramps that once extended underwater now are high and dry.
People were having trouble putting their boats in, there's a boat ramp across the lake from us at Sheep Mountain, and there's a boat ramp in Destruction Bay, and people were having trouble putting their boats in the water, yes.
The two channels of the Slims River once meandered across a mile-wide floodplain. Now, Saya says, the river delta is dry.
So we had a lot more dust storms. As soon as the wind came up, the silt just blew. So that was a change for us, too, because it used to be covered with water, so it prevented the silt from blowing, you know, having dust storms.
USGS hydrologists say the loss of Slims River water has had no discernible effect on the mighty Yukon River, and the same is true on the Alsek, according to Pat Pellet, who provides river rafting support services there. He says the water was higher than usual last summer, but not dramatically so.
If you take into account all the water that comes down that system and goes in the Pacific Ocean, the Slim River is probably like 1% of it. So it's not going to affect it that much.
Yukon hydrologist Jeff Bond says the shift in the river's course was predicted in a paper published in 2006, but it was still thrilling to observe.
Here's Mother Nature, Ian, in action, and you know, we've got a chance to sort of witness high-speed geology happening right in front of us. I mean, these things don't always happen in your lifetime, but you know, when you're in a dynamic environment like, you know, the St. Elias Mountains, you know, it can happen. And it was just, I think, really exciting to see it unfold.
This is not the region's first hydrological change of this magnitude in recent years. The world's largest nonpolar tidewater glacier, the Hubbard Glacier south of Yakutat, has twice advanced and closed off Russell Fjord from the ocean. In 1986, the resulting lake, 100 square miles in size, rose 80 feet and flooded the surrounding forest until the glacial dam burst. The 2002 Russell Lake was only slightly smaller. Reporting in Anchorage, I'm Jocelyn Estes.
For KHNS News, I'm Emily Files. Thanks for joining us this evening. You can listen to and read local news stories on our website at khns.org.